and welcome to Crushed by Margaret Caborn Smith, a podcast about the delights and disasters of unrequited love. My guest today is brilliant writer, performer, poet and author, Abigail Burdess. Well, don't laugh.
I've never heard myself described as a poet before, but...
Well, you are.
It's kind of... Yeah, okay, yeah. Go for it. Love it.
You're all of these things. So, Abby, can I call you Abby?
Yes, you can, Margaret, because you have known me for a little while now.
100 years. Yeah. You actually strike me as somebody who doesn't go in for crushes so much. Would that be right? Or
it's very funny you should say that. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do Margaret's podcast. I've got to say that I had a crush on somebody. And I was like, have I actually ever had a crush?
But this is fascinating.
I know, but then I started really thinking, and yes, I think that possibly in my 20s, I was one of those people who pretended that they had no problem. They were liquid with the gentleman. And there was literally no problem here. And they did not know what unrequited love was. And that's what Cicely Giddings used to say about me. She used to say that I was like Vince Vaughn in Swingers.
Yes.
Yeah. And that I'd just be like, whoever was just talking to me, I would think they were trying to get off with me. So I'd be like, someone would be trying to sell me petrol. And I'd be like, well, somebody's got a little crush on somebody. And I think that somebody's me. And so, yeah. Or they, you know, they'd be trying to tell me that I had toilet roll stuck on my... And I'd be like, they want me. So, yeah. So I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. That was my stance. Weirdly enough, I met Vince Vaughn and he did try to get off with me.
I mean...
Come on. Or was he?
Did he have toilet paper on your shoe?
Probably just had the toilet paper on my shoe.
I mean, you're right. Like, Vince Vaughn seems absolutely like someone who, again, doesn't really have crushes, just sort of goes for it.
Yeah, just
kind
of
assumes everyone.
Talks to people in bars.
And did you get off with him?
I did not get off with Vince Vaughn, no. He was quite old.
You were quite old.
He was quite old.
He was quite old,
and I was not quite old. And I was like, I don't need this.
Amazing.
Yeah. Maybe he really was just trying to, like,
show me to
the toilet, get past me. Probably.
Ask you if you were in the wrong place.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you say that was your stance.
Because I've been thinking about it for the purposes of coming on here.
Sure.
And I think that probably, yeah, that was like my stance in my 20s, because up to that point, I had so much unrequited love.
Generally, creative people tend to go in for it a bit because of this, all the sort of fantasy, in your head and like your imagination being.
And we're passionate people.
Yes, exactly.
We're passionate people.
Yeah. So what form did these crushes take? So you say pre-20s.
Yeah. But then the trouble is if you go back too far.
Yeah.
And then you'll...
I'm really up for going back too far.
Yeah. But then you'll get into if it's, you don't want it to be requited.
Because
that would be a crime. Do you know what I mean?
But also, exactly. It's not even the criminal element, because as a child, you're not aware of the criminal element. But you are aware that you don't actually want the reality. Yeah, you don't want to really...
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to, you're not going to be at school and then go, and then we built a castle together and we had a little boat trip or whatever it is. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Whatever your dream
so
is.
So who was your first and how old were you?
I contacted him for the purposes of this podcast.
Oh my God, I love it.
It was nuts. Anyway,
Active.
Because I was going to talk about the crush to a friend of mine and then it turned out she works with him.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is so weird.
So how old were you?
So I was like 14, 15.
Okay.
And he was like 16.
That's good. I thought you were going to say 60 there I was worried.
No, so it wasn't.
16 is acceptable.
Yeah. And I got in touch with him and he was like, I have no memory of who you are.
I'm sort of glad in a way because that's how it's supposed to work.
Exactly. And he was utterly lovely and perfect and charming. And it was a very good person to have a crush.
So what was this, at school?
I went on holiday. I was on holiday in France. We didn't go in for holidays when I was a kid, because my dad's kind of rule was that we were already going on holiday just by going home.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So because we didn't live in England.
Yeah.
He was like, my dad was a civil servant. It's a bit like being an army brat. So you go all around the world. And so he was like, well, you're already coming home. And that is a foreign holiday.
Yeah.
So we had one holiday when I was about 15. And we all got in this car and just drove around Europe. And like basically from houses of people that my parents knew because they didn't want to pay for a hotel. So we just like go from one... one house people who barely knew us to another house people who and then we randomly ended up in the south of France at like this incredibly glamorous mansion who I don't know how my parents knew these people, and it was just this beautiful sort of, you know, it's your yeah. classic, and there were two boys staying there. And one of them was like French and gorgeous.
I'd really like you to see what Abby's doing with her hands to show how gorgeous this man was.
It's describing a sculpted chest with my fingers.
Sculpted chest, yes.
Yes. And then there was another one who
was French boy.
There was a French boy who was gorgeous and handsome, and then there was an English boy who was very skinny and pale and very funny. And
oh,
which
dear.
One do you think
oh,
I like?
Dear.
Yeah, so him.
And
he doesn't remember me.
Yeah, he doesn't remember you at all. How did it feel to know that he didn't remember you?
I was a bit... I mean, I was an incredibly unattractive teenager. I mean, amazingly.
Sure, I mean, join the club.
Yeah. But it was an embarrassing situation anyway because my parents were there, obviously.
Yeah. And were his parents there?
No, he was staying there. He was a bit older, so he was staying there by himself, I think. And then also my mother doesn't speak French. She just like speaks English with a French accent. And so she does that sort of, oh, but I can't remember the word for it. Like in English, and you're like, what? She was just like, she's a very embarrassing human being. So I was already
charming, though.
Yeah, but like, and there was like an adults table and a kids table.
Okay,
that's what. And I was like on the kids table.
And where was he?
And then I think he was on the grown ups table.
Oh my god, that's
so. It was like there was a big yeah.
From
there
afar.
Was a gulf.
Yeah,
was a
that's
gulf.
A difficult one. That
yeah, but he was very very nice mm-hmm. to me. I tried to get off with him. Like, I was really active. I was really yeah. went for it.
And
he went, no. No.
He actually put his hands
he went,
out.
No, get off me. No.
Wow.
No, that's not appropriate.
So when you, no. so you were, right, tell me, when you were trying to get off, because yeah. I've seen you trying to get off with people. Was it a really, like, physical thing? Were you saying anything? Were you just leaning...
I was leaning in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, so you're actually fighting you off.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's do you remember anything you said? Or was no. it just...
I remember him, he said a nice thing to me when I left.
What was the nice thing? Can
he
you remember?
He said, I can't wait to see what you do with your life.
I mean, there's so much to read into that, isn't there? And I love the fact that you say he said a nice thing to me.
I interpreted that as a nice
you,
thing.
No, and I love you for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I yeah. would be thinking about that every day since. So, oh my God, that's so sad that you then got to tell him what you're doing with your life and he's got no idea who you are.
No idea.
And he's made such an impression on you.
No
How
idea.
Long?
But he was very funny. He was like...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's a brilliant thing to say. Yeah. And you're right, it is actually definitely for an awkward teenage girl. That's a fantastic thing to hear, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what you... Looking back, what do you think he was? Was he like, you're very odd? Was that the was that the underlying... message of that?
I think so. I think he recognised that I probably was a very strange child and I could do with some encouragement.
Yeah.
Which was
that's
nice.
So
you know,
nice.
You know, I think it was a nice...
How long were you there for?
I don't know. I think I was probably there for like 4 days.
Yeah,
no, it was one of those things where you're like, okay.
Incredibly intensive.
Yeah, but... where you're like, this is the answer. To all of our problems. Yeah, exactly.
And how long did you think about him after? Like, did you swap addresses? Like, you know, you remembered his name.
But I remembered his name because he's got the same name as a very famous musician.
Oh, can you tell
and
us?
And so there was a bit of, yes, I can tell because I said, can
is
I say
Bono?
What your name is? It's not. Yes. It's Bono.
It was a teenage Bono.
It was a different Bono. There
different
are more
Bono.
Than one.
That's his name, yeah.
No, he's called Johnny Greenwood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so sort of like famous but not hugely famous.
Yeah,
so
an odd level
of, like, I mean, name-wise, not everyone is going to know Johnny Greenwood.
No, okay.
But enough people will be like, oh,
musos
okay.
Might, yeah. So I thought... I've always sort of assumed it was actually Johnny Greenwood.
Oh, and this is added to your insane delusion.
Until I actually looked him up and then I was like, oh, right.
Wrong Johnny Greenwood. So Johnny Greenwood is in Radiohead.
Yes, but there was a period...
He's pretty handsome,
yeah,
too.
He's
handsome,
very
handsome, skinny,
he's
pale.
He's handsome, skinny, pale. Yeah, exactly. And also, like, yeah, it could have been him.
Yeah, no, it's about the right.
And there was a point in my life where literally everybody I snogged became incredibly famous. And so it did make sense that I would go, oh, it's probably Johnny Greenwood.
It's probably him.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I used to think I actually did it to them, that, like, there was something in me that was just transferring. And then if they got off with me, they then got a TV show. That was how it worked.
Have you read The Hippopotamus or seen The Hippopotamus?
No, it's on my bookshelf.
That's not the same thing. But there's a thing in that where a boy thinks he has magical powers. thinks he's healing. I mean, I won't go too much into it, but I really love the idea that you are...
Transferring talent in some way.
Finally, they have the talent.
I was like Manny. You know, on Modern Family, Manny has always had a crush on. So I'd always be like planning, okay, I'm going to do this speech.
Oh, but can I ask about
that?
I'm going
to make a really good speech and then he's going to fall in love with me. And then,
Yeah. Because I always felt like I wasn't allowed to do that because I was a girl.
Right.
I don't know. So I always had that thing of like, I would like to serenade someone, but girls don't do that. Like, that is
not.
So I'd have to switch the fantasy in my head and have them sing to me. However unlikely that was for a teenage boy in a Wonderstuff t-shirt to be at my window singing Boys Don't Cry. I mean, it's not going to happen. Like, girls are much more, I don't know, I feel like much more able to do that. But I'm sort of contradicting myself here.
Yeah.
But I just felt like, no. Girls are pursued.
Okay, that felt like a strong expectation.
Yes.
Sexist expectation.
Exactly, big sexist expectation.
Right.
You felt able to do the, I'm going to get on a table and tell you how I feel.
Yeah, I did. In fact, and it's worked. Like, it's quite effective, I say.
I completely agree. I'm really, really jealous.
Okay, oh, good.
No,
genuinely. People are jealous of me. That never happened.
That is not true.
They're like, oh,
Abby.
God, you did what? How humiliating.
It's such a powerful thing. And it's such a powerful thing to understand that rejection is all right. Not that you've ever been rejected, Abby.
Of course,
I'm
never. It's never
sure
happened. Never happened.
Well, no, I should ask about that then.
Yeah. So Johnny Greenwood rejected me. And again, I phrased it in my head as, oh, he was a noble good, but maybe I was just disgusting. But like... Probably.
He was a noble good.
Yeah, he was a noble good man. Yeah.
So is that how you felt at the time?
I thought he wanted... No, I didn't feel like he wanted it, but I thought he was just a nice person.
Yeah.
He was like,
and
nice,
the nice thing to do.
The nice thing to do is not
have
to
push you
to
away.
Do with me. And that is the proof, in fact, that he was a good person.
Yeah.
Is that he didn't like me.
Oh.
And that, I think I had that again. I think it took me quite a while to, because I had a very, very, very long crush on somebody for sort of.
Is this in your teens?
10 years in my
life. Oh, wow.
Like from
okay.
Sort of 16 to 26.
Yeah.
I was like.
Obsessed.
Obsessed. I was, well, upset. I was just, it was, there was a perfect person.
Mm-hmm. And
so
you decided who that was.
Yeah. And so that.
And was it someone you knew?
It was, yeah.
Was it a friend?
Well, I made him my friend. He became my friend.
Oh, this is a very good tactic.
Yeah. Yeah. This is my tactic.
Again, I think, yeah, kind of works.
Yeah. I think, I don't know.
You make yourself indispensable.
I mean, it didn't work.
Sure.
In that I did
you
not.
You never got together with him?
No.
Ever?
No.
How close did you come?
Not close.
Right.
But that was, again, proof that he was a good human being. I don't know. Having said, did we get close? I don't know.
Mm. So you didn't
because everything was
pursue...
through the prism of my warped imagination.
Yes.
Yeah. So
right. Okay.
Maybe
so with this, so this is the one time.
Yeah.
Where you didn't.
Well, I didn't succeed.
Lunge. Well, no. I mean,
lunge and go. Oh well. Try again tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there was never any lunging?
Never lunged at him. He was too good to lunge at.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what changed your mind about him being the perfect person?
Nothing. He still is perfect.
No!
He literally is perfect, though. Like,
are
I can't
friends?
Tell you who it is.
Oh, well, yeah, no, we shouldn't.
No. But he is, like, a perfect human. Like, he just does
no,
so much
Abby,
good.
No, Abby, he isn't.
He really is.
No, he isn't.
He actually is, though.
Oh, my God. This is not how I was expecting this to go.
No, but I mean, he's a good...
Sure. No.
Yeah.
Good, I accept.
Good human. Yeah.
He's a good human.
Yeah,
he's not
good.
A
he does good
person.
For the world.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
yeah.
No, no, I'm, yeah, I'm, yeah. I'm all for that. So, don't get me wrong.
I know, but I'm like a selfish, you know, I'm a...
So you needed someone more on your level to have children with.
Someone, you know, like an idiot. Like an idiot like me.
Yeah. No, I get that instinct, obviously.
Yeah.
But you said 16 to 26. So something changed because you are no longer 26. I'm sorry.
What? No, I'm not.
At 26,
yes.
Something shifted.
So I think it might have been because he got married.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's good that you managed
terrible.
To. Because
is this about? I shouldn't be saying this.
No, I love it.
Okay.
Because some people, I mean, that reflects well on you. Maybe you're a good, noble person because you didn't go, I'm still going to pursue.
I mean, I never really pursued him.
No,
like,
sure.
Because I was just so in awe. He was such an amazing person. Like, he was so far above me. Although I would kind of put myself through quite a lot just to sort of be around him.
Oh, wow.
So,
like what? Go on.
I went to his house. What? So I was trying to be his friend.
Yeah. And you became his friend.
Yeah.
And were you at his wedding?
I was not at his wedding, no. But I went to his house once and I was hanging around and because I was hanging around and I set off a terrorist alarm. So it was an alarm, special alarm, which I thought it was a light switch. And then I pressed it and then like SAS guys came.
Oh my God, what is
and
this?
And they held me up against, there was literally like a SWAT team. And I had to go out with my hands up and I had a red dot on my head where they had trained the gun.
Oh my God.
Because the alarm had gone off and they were on high alert for a terrorist attack. Because of who he was. And then, so I had a red dot on my, anyway.
I mean, that is putting yourself through.
Yeah. And I was like, this is fine. This, I probably deserve this. This is what you have to do if you want to.
This is the way I'm going to go.
Go.
Then I do. In the name of love, we're a passionate people. These are all the things that you were thinking if you had a red dot.
Yeah, I was sort of going, it's okay. It'll be okay. It's worth it. I was thinking it's worth it.
Well, so was he there?
Yeah, so it was his, like, his house had an alarm system.
Did you all have to come out with your
No, just me, because I'd set it off. Terrorist. And they were, like, trying to find the special code to say, don't worry, it's a bad alarm. And I was just going out going,
How old were you?
I'm sorry. I think I was, like, 16.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Is that very intense experience anything to do with it? I mean...
Do you think that's why I like him?
Because well, I do wonder. There's a lot of adrenaline there.
Because the SMS guys drained the red dot on my forehead. And then I was like, woohoo! Yumma!
This means something.
Hubba, hubba.
Well, come on, because there's a lot of hormonal stuff going on at that age, isn't there? So maybe you're confused.
You're saying I got the threat to my life, mm-hmm. I interpreted.
This is what I'm going with.
As, do you know what? That's perfect. That sounds
makes
perfect
sense.
That does actually sound. Because I was very romantic. So I was like, you know, it's all that like, I'll die for love stuff.
Yeah, no, it's one step beyond serenading, definitely. I don't think I ever went in for. I used to go in for fantasies of being trapped in lifts. With people and that being and sort of knowing that not thinking I was going to die or we were going to die, but thinking that we were having a very intense and then I could tell them how I
what if you just got trapped with them. So you wanted to get trapped with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Or okay. I mean I didn't
you
go out of my
love
my
bus journey. It's a strike.
Oh God, Abby, how many people have you lunged at today
already? I haven't lunged.
I'm trapped on this bus.
Might as well give it a go. All right.
Do you ever do that thing where you look around a tube carriage and think, if I was trapped with all these people, who am I gonna try to get off with?
I think that all the time. If I'm sitting on the tube, I just go along the line of people going, would you just ranking them? Yeah, wouldn't I? Wouldn't I? Would I? No. Have you got a haircut? That sort of thing. Yeah.
So then you get your scissors out of your bag and just check.
Just lunge at him, cut his hair, then do the lunge.
And then it's his stop.
Then do the lunge. Anyway, yes, I do wish I hadn't, you know, I don't think the lunging's necessarily a great idea, generally.
Really?
Yeah.
No, go on. What do you regret about it?
I think...
Are there certain people that you're like, he didn't deserve my attention? I think that's the thing that would bother me, is that later on...
You'd be like, that was a bad idea.
Like, that you're like, he now thinks I'm really into him.
Yeah.
And it was just a passing thought.
It was literally a passing thought and I had a go.
Yeah. And a lot of men...
Yeah.
You know, I think particularly when you're younger, very grateful... For an attractive woman.
I'm not. You're being sarcastic.
No, I'm really not. Of course I'm not. Of course I'm not. Listen, I believe that you're an unattractive teen because, you know, why would you lie about it?
Yeah.
And most people in comedy
were
unattractive teens.
We were not the attractive people. No,
they're doing other things.
Right. Yeah.
But no, I've known you since we were in our mid-20s. I mean, now I'm thinking, you were
maybe
in love
I was
with that
already.
Man.
Yeah, when you met me, I may well have been. I was when you met me. I was in love with him. I had a crush on him.
Yeah,
it's not the
did
same thing.
Did you think it was love?
I did, sort of, but I also knew that it performed a function in my life.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
which I'm sure you talk about this all the time, but you know, it. Was a noble,
yes,
and beautiful thing, and in contrast to my grubby reality of my life,
the lunges.
It was just a. Here is a beautiful idea. I mean, you know, he was literally like an angel. He could sing like an angel. He was an angel.
Wow!
And so it was like, look at this. Look at this person. And I mean, he was like a genius. He's actually a genius. Like, level.
Now
he's
starting to think you've made him up.
His name was James Bond.
I've never heard James Bond sing.
But also, like, sometimes you just, like, there are those people in the world, aren't there, who you just like, because I remember my sister saying to me, you always like really extraordinary people. You're always like, you're always drawn to these really sort of extraordinary characters, and she always likes
the
like a guy who's like, we'll make
boy
things normal, you know, like,
please make things normal.
Please make things
normal.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And you, like, want to be.
And I'm like, it's fine.
Some...
It's fine. Let's just go for the, you know, having the nutso life, and it's fine. You know, that'll suit me. That'll be all right.
Yeah. And why
do
is.
You know, do you know what I mean?
Why is that?
I don't know.
Come on.
Yeah. So. But he was very, yeah, but it did, do people say that? That it forms, it's a function, isn't it? It's to keep hope alive, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think people realise it at different times, though, because I think that when you are young and you're experiencing it, especially with all the hormones and whatever, it's very confusing. I mean, I think everything's very confusing at that age. I would hate to be that age again.
I mean, I think he did. There was some element of reality to it.
Yeah. Well, he was a real person. This is not a celebrity. This is not... Hugh Laurie, this is somebody in your life that you can go to his house and set off alarms.
Yes. And he, like, mentored me. He, like, looked after me.
Oh, God,
and,
really?
Yeah, yeah. So he was, like, he was basically looking after this scruffy... But I think he knew that...
I was going to say, how aware was he of your
I think he
feelings?
Became aware of it because he did have the decency to come and tell me himself that he was getting... Because I think he knew that would...
be a thing.
Would be significant to me, which shows some, again, what a great guy.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is, no, of all the things, I'm not so into the singing and being like an angel. But yeah, coming to tell you that.
I'll show you a picture at the end.
All right.
And then you'll be like, okay, got it. I got it.
So we've talked before on this podcast about crushes being a protection against reality.
Yeah.
As a writer, do you feel like that? Do you feel like you have almost written somebody in your head so that you don't have to face... I mean, I do actually almost feel like this guy, Perfect Angel, is... probably better, you know, better written in your head than in reality.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, like, in a rom-com, the other person fulfills some lack that you have, right? So, in story arc terms, if you're a control freak, you meet somebody who is carefree, and then.
Yeah,
you know, along comes Polly or whatever, so that you become more careful
one
yourself. You learn,
person.
you absorb the exactly. You absorb each other. You are each other's nemesis, and you absorb each other, and therefore grow. And so, with a crush, definitely, what was different about that guy was that he was good and I was bad.
Yeah, this is what I worry about, Abby.
And so, I do think there is, for me, that crush was, I'm going to cry. It was a talisman. It was a medallion that I could carry to ward off evil spirits. So, and to ward off the very, very turbulent and difficult life I actually led. And also because he was very steady and, like, he just... everything about him was, like, different from my own chaotic sort of where will I sleep tonight? I don't know. I don't have a home at the moment. But, you know, like, I have had a very strange life in my late teens where I didn't really have any stability. And so I think that crush was probably like a thing that I was holding for the future, like a hope for the future that I was holding. Sorry.
That's amazing. No, it's incredible. And the lovely thing about it is he was in your life. So that isn't a made up, you know,
no,
that's
it's not
some sort of celebrity.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, I had a crush on Noah, whatever he is, Wiley or whatever.
Yeah, so instead he's chosen to be in your life as well, which is the thing that's good about it, the thing that does make it a pure thing.
Yeah,
it's
so
not
it was
all
good.
In your head.
Yeah, so it wasn't all in my head, although it was a lot in my head. And yes, I did write the arc of it in my head, definitely. And also, it is a relief, isn't it, to be able, because as a writer, you're always trying to control the narrative.
Yeah.
So you're like, if I could just, you know, rather than real love where it's all about giving in to the fact that you have no power at all and
compromise
constantly
and...
like it's literally like falling in love with someone is like it's like life becomes your Zen master, doesn't it? And that's just like hitting you over and over again in the face going, you're an idiot, look at what an idiot you are. And that's what like a real relationship is just going, oh, I've just learned another way that I'm awful, I've learned another way that I'm a terrible idiot. But you know, it's cracking your understanding and you lose your own self-delusion, whereas having a perfect idea of like love is a way of keeping yourself safe from self-knowledge.
Now I'm crying.
We got a bit deep there, didn't we? I preferred when we were talking about how I used to lunge at people. Kept getting off with everyone. You know.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really beautiful description. And I should say, all of this stuff, I feel like I want to defend you a bit from you are bad, the you are bad narrative, which we seem to have been exploring. So our friend Zoe and I went to see Happy Go Lucky.
Oh, yeah.
When it came out years ago. And both of us were, and we kept being told it was a feel-good film, and both of us were utterly depressed by it for the same reason, which was like, she's so good and she's so perfect and I'm nothing like that. And I ended up talking to a couple of different people who know me very well, who both went, oh, God, I wouldn't like you at all if you were like that. I wouldn't hang out with you if you were like that. And so I think we need to remember that that good, perfect, pure thing, A, doesn't exist, that's fictional as well, but B,
don't
isn't
mind
everything...
me. I'm happy-go-lucky, me. It's all right.
Yeah.
I think Cicely and I actually wrote a sketch being her queer. We were like, oh, always a polyamory, always look on the bright side of life. Oh, look, I've just brought this flower back to life just by looking at it and touching it. Yes, there was...
Quite.
A, sorry,
well,
no offence to lovely...
Amazing
Sally Hawkins,
no.
Who's wonderful and very nice, always been utterly charming to me. But but like that character obviously I didn't enjoy the writing of that character, but I know what you mean, yeah.
A sort of like, you know, if you hold that up as the person
the ideal,
that you're meant to be,
yeah, yeah.
And then that can depress you. But the truth is, that's not why people like you and people do like you and they want to hang out with you. And that's true with all of us who are, you know, we can make dark jokes and, you know, flawed human beings. That's not... It's great to aim to be good and save the world.
Yeah.
But you're also allowed to be a right old state. Yes!
You
love your friends who are right old states.
I love my friends who are right old states. I do try to remind myself that we have a right to exist in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's
more
not...
than that, you're... Yeah.
No, but...
Very
but,
entertaining company.
Thanks, that's nice.
And that makes up
for
your
all
terrible,
the
evil
soul.
Yeah.
The bad soul. No, but I suppose... Yeah, sorry.
On that note,
yeah.
I'm really sorry. Right, we are going to do the maths. I don't know if you know about the maths. You are of the correct age that you should have done this L-O-V-E-S thing.
No.
Do you know about it? Okay.
Sorry.
Well, we're going to do Johnny Greenwood.
Oh, God.
To find out
Do James Bond.
Instead of. The producer is saying, yes, we can do James Bond. I don't think James Bond is either an angel or a beautiful singer.
That's my,
but okay.
That's my cover name for...
Okay, that's your cover name. Right. It won't work with a cup. Anyway, so L's,
it will
O's.
It will work. It will work.
No V's. It's not good. It's 39%. But I think James Bond and your lifestyles are just not good together anyway. I think you're better off with your delightful loose husband. Abigail
nice,
Burgess.
Like yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Crushed by Margaret Caborn-Smith was hosted by Margaret Caborn-Smith and produced by Sophie Black. Thanks to everyone at the amazing TVC Soho. And if you enjoy the podcast, please remember to like and subscribe, as it helps people find where we are.